Disc 7.
Rorik had died. He had been sick for so long, but there were times when he had seemed to recover. But whatever illness carried him away had done so swiftly, and Breeder and I reached Redingham on the day that his body was burned. Ragnar, in tears, stood by the pyre and watched as the flames consumed his son. A sword, a bridle, a hammer amulet and a model ship had been placed on the fire, and after it was done, the melted metal was placed with the ashes in a great pot that Ragnar buried close to the Thames. "You are my second son now," he told me that night, and then remembered Breeder, "and you are my daughter." He embraced us both, then got drunk. The next morning he wanted to ride out and kill West Saxons, but Ravan and Halfdan restrained him. The truce was holding. Breeder and I had only been gone a little over 3 weeks, and already the first silver was coming to Redingham, along with fodder and food. Alfred, it seemed, was a man of his word, and Ragnar was a man of grief. "How will I tell Sigrid?" he wanted to know.
"It is bad for a man to have only one son," Ravan told me. "Almost as bad as having none. I had three, but only Ragnar lives. Now only his eldest lives."
Ragnar the younger was still in Ireland.
"He can have another son," Breeder said.
"Not from Sigrid," Ravan said. "But he could take a second wife, I suppose. It is sometimes done."
Ragnar had given me back serpent breath, and another arm ring. He gave a ring to Breeder too, and he took some consolation from the story of our escape. We had to tell it to Halfdan, and to Guthrum the Unlucky, who stared at us dark-eyed as we described the meal with Alfred, and Alfred's plans to educate me, and even grief-stricken Ragnar laughed when Breeder retold the story of how she had claimed to be King Edmund's bastard.
"This Queen Aelswyth," Halfdan wanted to know, "what is she like?"
"No queen," I said. "The West Saxons won't have queens. Beorca had told me that. She is merely the king's wife."
"She is a weasel pretending to be a thrush," Breeder said.
"Is she pretty?"
Guthrum asked.
"A pinched face," Breeder said, "and piggy eyes and a pursed mouth."
"He'll get no joy there then," Halfdan said.
"Why did he marry her?"
"Because she's from Mercia," Ravan said, "and Alfred would have Mercia on his side."
"Mercia belongs to us," Halfdan growled.
"But Alfred would take it back," Ravan said. "And what we should do is send ships with rich gifts for the Britons. If they attack from Wales and Cornwallum, then he must divide his army."
That was an unfortunate thing to say, for Halfdan still smarted from the memory of dividing his own army at Aske's Hill, and he just scowled into his ale. So far as I know, he never did send gifts to the Britons, and it would have been a good idea if he had, but he was distracted by his failure to take Wessex, and there were rumours of unrest in both Northumbria and Mercia. The Danes had captured so much of England so quickly that they had never really subdued their conquest, nor did they hold all the fortresses in the conquered land, and so revolts flared like heathland fires. They were easily put down, but untended they would spread and become dangerous. It was time, Halfdan said, to stamp on the fires and to cow the conquered English into terrified submission. Once that was done, once Northumbria, Mercia, and East Anglia were quiet, the attack on Wessex could be resumed.